NPR.
The Wilma Theater in Philadelphia has about 300 seats. It normally runs 3 to 5 plays a year. Back in March, the Wilma was forced to shut down because of coronavirus, about 6 weeks before starting rehearsals for its next play, a play called Is God Is.
And so suddenly, the theater company had to figure out if there was any way to still produce the play, even though its actual theater had closed its doors, and then how to sell that new production so that it could keep paying its workers and keep operating. Lee Goldenberg, the managing director of the Wilma Theater, was determined to find out.
We didn't just say, oh, okay, it has to be canceled. Sorry, let's figure out how that will work. We then went through at least 4 different iterations of what the production could be so that we could still tell the story, share the art, and employ the folks involved.
This is the Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The entire performing arts industry, an industry worth tens of billions of dollars, has been hit harder than almost any other part of the economy. Their business model requires live audiences, people to be packed into theaters and concert halls and opera houses, and it will be a while before that is possible again.
So today on the show, how one theater, the Wilma Theater in Philadelphia, is responding to this existential threat, and how its story reflects the struggles of performing arts organizations all across the country.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from E-Trade. Trading isn't for everyone, but E-Trade is. Whether it's saving for a rainy day or your retirement, E-Trade has you covered. They can help you check financial goals off your list. And with a team of professionals giving you support when you need it, you can be confident that your money is working hard for you. Get more than just trading with E-Trade. To get started, visit etrade.com/podcast for more information. E-Trade Securities, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC.
When the Wilma Theater shut down back in March, it had been planning an upcoming run of its next play, Is God Is, which was going to be the final play of the season for the theater.
Is God Is like the greatest title. So, Cardiff, what is this play about?
Yeah, so without giving away too much, the play is about twin sisters who reunite with their estranged mother and then go on a kind of rampage of revenge against their father for this, like, horrible crime that he committed years ago. It is a very, like, emotional and violent play. And when the theater was shut down, its managing director, Lee Goldenberg, had to figure out what to do, and she did recognize that there was this one, like, tiny silver lining.
We were a bit fortunate in the timing. Many of our colleagues around the country and the city were in the midst of a run. We were about 6 weeks out from starting rehearsals from Is God Is, so we had time to punt and plan what we would want to do next.
So Lee and the cast and crew of the play got to work. First, they thought about maybe just postponing the play, putting it on later. But they realized that that probably was not going to work because coronavirus looked like it was going to be around for a while.
So then second, they thought about just filming the play in an empty theater and releasing the video, selling the video. But that would not have worked because it might have been unsafe for the actors. So then third, they figured, well, why not just do the play from home and film it using cameras at home? Some TV shows have done this.
But crucial parts of the play include violence, people hitting each other savagely, blood everywhere. So they decided that couldn't work either.
And so finally, the set and lighting designer said, hey, how about just a radio play? And the director of Is God Is, James Imes, remembers thinking, yeah, that could work. Though he also remembers thinking it's going to require altering the play artistically.
The very first thing I thought about when we were like, well, let's do it as a radio play, I was like, well, how do we do the violence that doesn't sound corny or doesn't that, you know, how do we create that sense of, oh, this is brutal without it sounding like a cartoon?
But as he was working on it, James also realized that changing the play for radio might actually have some advantages.
There's one moment when a character is hit and she gasps when she's hit. And I was like, that's so real to me that, like, I imagine, I've never been hit in the head with a rock, but, like, I imagine I would be shocked first and then the pain would come. And so we got to do this really detailed work about the violence. Like, the breath is something that you don't always hear, especially in a theater the size of the Wilma.
So the Wilma settled on a radio play that you could listen to during a limited window of a few days. So if you bought a ticket, let's say, you could then listen to it via streaming online during those days. But while the theater was making these artistic adjustments, Lee says it also had to solve new logistical problems that it had not faced before.
We were testing different equipment. Our production manager was dropping things off at people's houses and helping them build little soundproof spaces and getting them the right microphones and adjusting internet speeds and all of that fun stuff. So it was a mix of exploring the play itself, but also what would this style of creating look like.
The Wilma Theater also needed a new commercial strategy for Is God Is.
The theater hosts an annual fundraising gala, and this year they had to do it online on their website back in May. And it raised 25% less than they had expected to before the pandemic, but still, at least it was something. And the theater also got a loan from the government as part of the Paycheck Protection Program for small businesses, a program that had been authorized by the big stimulus and aid bill passed back in March.
As for the cast and crew, the Wilma Theater paid its actors for 3 weeks out of the 7 weeks that they had expected to be paid. For the other weeks, the actors collected unemployment benefits, which had been expanded under the stimulus bill. The theater also honored its contracts with the play's designers, but it did not hire the usual crew to build the set, hang the lights, run the production, all that kind of thing.
So once the play had been produced and recorded, the Wilma Theater needed a way to sell it, to reach an audience that would actually tune in to hear it. So the theater decided to ask for a minimum donation of $10 to be able to hear the play any day between July 23rd and July 26th. Plus, people who had purchased subscriptions to the theater season of plays could donate the cost of that subscription back to the theater instead of getting a refund. So all in all, the theater raised $57,000 in revenue for Is God Is, Lee says. That's a big loss from the money that the Wilma would have made by showing the play in a theater, but Lee is focused on what the theater did make.
Dollar for dollar, no, we did not bring in as much revenue as if this had sold out for 4 weeks in the theater. We had budgeted $114,000 in ticket revenue. So we didn't come close to that. But in terms of artistic fulfillment and what we're learning about creating work in this way and having revenue to offset some of those expenses does feel like a win for us.
The Wilma Theater is just one example, but adapting to survive is something that theaters and live performing arts organizations are struggling with everywhere now.
Sunil Iyengar is Director of Research and Analysis at the National Endowment for the Arts, the NEA.
Even at the very start of the pandemic in the U.S., between March and April, we found that performing arts employment dropped by, I can't believe this, 48%, about 50% cut in employment for workers in the performing arts industries. That's about 62,000 workers.
As for the Wilma Theater, Lee Goldenberg says that the experience of adapting a show at least means they will know how to do it again.
Now we've shown that we are doing it. We are delivering what we said we would do. We didn't think it was possible. We went through all these different variations, but we did. We're closing out our season with the art that we intended.
Truth, of course, is that it's still unclear what comes next. For the Wilma and for other theater companies and for other performing arts organizations everywhere, because just how much these adaptations really end up helping, especially if the coronavirus shutdowns last a while, is kind of an open question. But what else is there to do? The cast and crew of the Wilma, just like so many other people and businesses who are struggling right now, are doing what they can.
But you know, Cardiff, artists are tough people. There's a lot of adversity when you're trying to make art.
True.
And you know, in theater, they have that saying, the show must go on. And for now, the show is going on.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Brittany Cronin. The Indicator's editor is Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Until recently, Edmund Hong says he didn't speak out against racism because he was scared.
My parents told me not to speak up because they were scared. But I'm tired of this.
Listen now on the Code Switch podcast from NPR.